This is the word of God found in Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 4. And before I forget to say it, I so appreciate each one of you being here. Members and visitors, means a lot that you're present this morning. Psalm 63, the first four verses. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. It's not natural for a human being to seek God. That's just not the nature of this fallen race. And if we maintain the same way that we were as conceived, we would not seek God. That's clearly taught throughout the Bible. One of the strongest expressions of it, at least in my opinion, is found in Romans chapter 3. And this describes the situation of all of us according to the nature we have when we're conceived in the wombs of our mothers. Romans chapter 3, starting with verse 10, reading through verse 18, says, As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I especially want to emphasize verse 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That is the nature of every human being that has ever been conceived, except for one. There was one that was not conceived by the seed of man. And that particular one was Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin. He was not born with that fallen nature. He was born with a normal human nature, with a sinless human nature, and remained sinless throughout his time on earth and remains sinless today. And Adam was not conceived. He was made by God out of the dust, and yet he chose to fall. Eve was not conceived. She was made out of one of Adam's ribs, and yet she was in the transgression being deceived. So the three people that were not conceived by the seed of man were Adam, who fell, Eve, who was deceived, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who was victorious. All the rest of us were conceived by the seed of man, and because of that, we're conceived with the fallen nature of Adam. And what that fallen nature of Adam means is what it says in verse 11. There's none that understandeth. Now, you might understand mathematics, some of it. You might understand some science. You might understand some properties of poetic meter and rhyme. You might understand certain language grammars. You might understand that. But to understand true love, goodness, truth, mercy, grace. The only way a human being is going to ever understand that is if God gives him a completely new nature, a new spirit, because by our original natural nature as conceived, there's none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. And so when David writes this, he's writing this as one who has been changed. Before Jesus Christ ever walked the earth as a man, before there was ever any New Testament, before there was ever any gospel preaching, before there was ever any gospel church, something had changed in David. And so he writes this because God has changed him. O God, thou art my God. You know what God says? They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know ye the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least unto the greatest. For I will write my laws in their heart and put my commandments in their inward parts. And then the scripture says, they shall be unto me a people, and I shall be unto them a God. So when you read words like this that David writes, O God, thou art my God, that's somebody who's a recipient of God's grace. Not because he earned it, not because he chose it, not because he accepted it, but because God did a work of new creation in his heart. You say, did he force him against his will? He made David willing in the day of his power. He overrode that corrupt, fallen, anti-God free will, because it wasn't really free, it was enslaved to his fallen nature. He made him willing in the day of his power. He gave him a will that was truly free. And for that reason, he was God's child, and God was his God. Not only that, but there was something in him that cried out, Daddy, to God. Because ye are sons, he has sent forth his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And because of that, you know how sometimes adopted children want to seek for their biological parent? And they may invest quite a bit of time and money trying to do the research to find out who was my biological mom or my biological dad. For medical reasons, for just personal reasons, they may do that. The fact of the matter is, when someone is born again, no matter what their religious circumstance, no matter what their level of theological training is, maybe they have none at all. Maybe they themselves are still an infant. They haven't even learned language yet. But because God comes to dwell in their heart, they begin to seek after God. There's something in them now that wants God's presence, that wants closeness with God. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. This search has such a deepness and emotional intensity that even if a person doesn't realize that's what they're looking for, it's intense enough that it's like a hunger and thirst. No wonder the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If somebody is hungry and thirsty, can you therefore conclude that they are alive? Certainly. If somebody is spiritually hungry and thirsty, you can conclude they're spiritually alive. If somebody is hungry and thirsty for the righteousness that comes only from God, then you can conclude that they're alive with the indwelling presence of the living God. Amen. And that's what David is. He has a thirst for God, a hunger for God. He seeks after God. Now, I want to mention some things that I have before, but I just want to mention them again today. Not only does David seek after God, he says, early will I seek thee. I want to talk about three ways that you and I can seek God early, and then I want to talk about four places where we can seek God. I want to talk about that. Let's talk about seeking God early. It's good to seek God early in the day. Now, your day is probably a lot like mine. There's a lot of information coming at you. There's a lot of things to read in print, a lot of things to read online. You may have to check your inbox to see what your work is day by day. A lot of phone calls coming in. Today, you're just kind of overwhelmed with information. And all that information needs to be sorted through. You want to take it in with an open mind, but you want to get rid of that which is false and harmful and disturbing. As a matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul writes, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." That is, you be open-minded, and things that are coming in, you test them. When you find that they're bad, let them go. When you find that they're good, hold them. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Well, how are you going to prove information? How are you going to test it? This book. God has given you the sieve to take out the bad, to prove that which is good, so you can hold on to it. If it's in accordance with this book, it's good. If it's in contradiction to this book, it's bad. Get rid of it. Throw it away. No matter how credentialed the person that's providing the information, no matter how convincing, attractive, compelling their argument seems to be, if the information they're providing is contrary to this word, throw it out. If, however, somebody gives you some insight, some wisdom, some counsel, and it is in accordance with this word, hold on to it. Be grateful for it. But in order to do that, what's a good way to get your day started out right? Seek God early in the day. Seek Him early in the day. Before you start consuming this boatload of information that's going to come at you during the day, seek God first. That's why one of the best things to do to start your day is read a little scripture. You say, "Brother, you don't know my day. It's chock full. I barely have time for a Pop-Tart and a cup of coffee, and I got to get going." It is worth it. I know we all need our sleep. I need mine. I expect you need yours and everything. It is worth making a 15-minute sacrifice of sleep in the morning if you can spend 15 minutes in the Word of God, to seek God early in the day so that it sets you to receive everything else that's going to come at you during the day. Have your Bible by your bedside, or have your Bible app. That way you've actually got a light there on your phone so that you can just wake up and roll over and read a few minutes of Scripture before you consume any other information. Early will I seek you. Seek God early in the day. Seek God early in your life. It's best to start, especially with Bible study and prayer, it's best to start while you're young. That's what it says in the book of Lamentations. We read this. It says, it's Lamentations 3, 26 and 27. "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." The younger you can start seeking after God, the more fruitful your time on earth will be. It's something to prepare yourself to be more glorifying to the name of God and more helpful to the people of God. Seek God early in your life. Now, I'm a very poor example, but I was blessed with this habit, and I've made so many errors and so many mistakes and fallen so far short. But one thing that seems to have been a great blessing to me is I started reading a little bit of the Bible just about every day from the time I was 13. It wasn't much. I'm still not much of a Bible student, but just consuming little by little for that many years starts to have a beneficial effect. You know, one illustration I read, one fellow, I thought it was pretty good, is some people think, "Well, I'll read through the Bible once and then I'll let it go." He says, "You know, studying like that is like taking a tea bag and you got to cup of hot water, and you put the tea bag in for about 5 seconds, and then you draw it out and lay it aside. When you drink that, you're going to be pretty much drinking hot water. But if you take that tea bag and you let that thing, you dip it several times, you let it steep there for 3 minutes or so, you're going to have a good, strong cup of tea. And the Word of God is similar. You know, you might blow through it once. I've done it. Check that box. Bucket list fulfilled. I'm okay. That's better than nothing. I'm not going to criticize that. But oh, daily, throughout your life, starting early is a good way to seek God in both reading the Bible and in prayer. That dialogue that you have with God. When you read the Bible, it's like God talking to you. When you pray, it's like you talking to God. Start that conversation with God early in your life and continue it throughout your life. And somebody might say, "Brother, it's too late for me. It's already not early in my life. I'm already well advanced in years." Well, I'll tell you what, you can't start any earlier than right now. This is a good time to seek the Lord. You know what the old proverb says? The best time to have planted an apple tree was about 20 years ago. The second best time is today. It's not going to get any earlier. So seek God early in the day. Seek God early in your life. Seek God early in your trials and your joys. You know, I have to remind, Sandy has to remind me about this. A lot of times I'll make decisions and act, and she'll say, "Did you pray?" And it's like, I didn't. We ought to always, that ought to be the earliest thing we do. When we come to a decision, if it's a decision about relationships, a decision about property, a decision about health, a decision about things that you have to face, the earliest thing should be to get on our knees and ask God's counsel. That's seeking God early. Seek Him first. What does the Lord Jesus Christ teach His disciples? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What are these things? He was talking about food and clothing. You know, those are pretty essential, aren't they? But he told his disciples, you know, why do you take thought for the things that you will wear? You know, behold, the lilies of the field, they don't toil and they don't spin. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Why do you take thought for what you shall eat? God knows you have need of these things, but behold, the sparrows of the field, they don't sow, neither do they reap, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Well, he was talking about some pretty essential things there, clothing and food, and then right after that he says, the top priority, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So as far as seeking God early, seek Him early in the day, seek Him early in your life, seek Him early in your trials and in your joys. Seek Him early. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Well, David had been, I expect, to the tabernacle, and he wanted to build the temple, so he was saving up building material for that. He pitched a tent in Jerusalem for the Ark of the Covenant when it came in. But this actually was before he did that, because this says a Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. So the sanctuary was maybe the times that he had gotten to go to the tabernacle or to worship God as a boy. And he heard there about the greatness of God. He heard about how God had led Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He heard about how God had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt on the Passover night. He heard about how God had parted the sea, how God had spoken from Mount Sinai, how God had given the children of Israel the land of Canaan. He heard about the might and the glory and the liberation of God. So he heard about these things and he says, I want to seek God so that I can see the God that I've heard about in the sanctuary. You know, that's what Job says at the end of his trials. And God speaks to Job out of the whirlwind. You come to the last chapter of the book of Job, and Job says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the eye, but now mine eye seeth thee. When you seek after God, you begin to glimpse more of his power and glory that you've heard preached, that you've heard others experience. As you seek him, you begin to see more about his character, his power, his beauty, his kindness. Seek him to see thy power and thy glory so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Oh, how God loves his children. It's better than even their continued years on the earth. And so he says, I'm going to not only seek you, I'm going to praise you. Thus will I bless thee. Not only will I seek you and praise you, I'll bless you. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which David didn't know at that time, but you and I are blessed to know. David knew Jesus Christ, but he didn't know the name because the one who would bear that name as a human was not yet conceived and born. But David knew him within his heart, and that's whom he sought. Was the one who centuries later would come to earth and fulfill what David was promised, that there would never fail a man of his seed to sit upon the throne of the kingdom. And sure enough, Jesus of Nazareth came from the seed of David. And he went to the cross and he bore the sins of David. My great hope is he bore the sins of Marty, that he bore the sins of you. And he bore them until they were paid for and God's justice was satisfied. And when he bore them and paid for them, he removed them as far as the east is from the west from you, brothers and sisters. And then having done that, he rose from the dead on the third day and he ascended 40 days later and sat down on the right hand of the Father and still makes intercession for you. And so the prophecy's fulfilled. There has not failed forever a man of David's seed to sit upon the throne. He sits on the throne of the universe as he proclaimed to his disciples, all power in heaven and earth is given me. Aren't you glad to know the one who has all power in heaven and earth makes intercession for you right now and hears your prayers? So let me just quickly mention four places to look for God. If you're going to seek God early in the day or seek God early in your life, or you're going to seek God early in your experiences, your trials, your pleasures, your joys, if you're going to seek God, where do you look for him? Well, one place you can look for God is in nature. A lot of people do that. Sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes nature is red in tooth and claw. You see some of the things that happen and let you know that it's fallen. But as you look upon nature, it's also beautiful. The beauty shows God's original design and his beauty and his power. You can look upon nature. You can look at the sun shining right now and see something of God's beauty and power. But when you see a praying mantis tearing a grasshopper apart limb by limb, you can see something about the fall that was brought into this world by the decision of Adam. So you can seek God in nature, and you should. We should go out because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We should enjoy the beauty of a sunny day, the beauty of an ocean surf, the beauty of the mountains, the beauty of the fields of harvest, the beauty of the fruit trees, the beauty that he's made and the creatures that he's made. We should do that, but brothers and sisters, that's only a partial story because not only is his power, beauty, and order shown in creation, but also the fall that took place. So we need to seek that, but seek beyond that too. You can look for God in other people. I hope you will. It'll make you someone that's more able to help people look for God in others, because God does dwell in them. Because you're sons, He sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You are surrounded by a bunch of people that may not be saying it outwardly, but inwardly they're crying out, Daddy, to God. And you look in, and if you see love, if you look in and you see some integrity, if you see a longing for righteousness in people, then you're seeking God within people. You know, one of the signs that you're born again, if you want another evidence that you actually are headed for heaven, is found in 1 John, I believe it's chapter 3, where John writes, we know that we are passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Are there some folks here that you love? Some folks here I love. I know they love me. There's some folks in your life that you see love in them. And you love them because you see that presence within them. You know the reason you can see somebody and say, I believe that person is a child of God. The reason you say that is because you are a child of God. It takes one to know one. When Elijah was about to be taken up into heaven with a flaming chariot, Elisha was with him. Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall give thee before I'm taken from thee. And Elisha said, give me, I pray thee, a double portion of thy spirit. Elijah said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken up, it shall be so to thee. But if thou see me not, it shall not be so. Down comes the horses and chariots of fire, and up goes Elijah into the heavens. And Elisha looks and he sees it. It's not something invisible to him. He's looking upon it and he says, my father, the horsemen of Israel and the chariots thereof. And Elijah's mantle comes fluttering down to the earth. And Elisha picks it up and goes to the river Jordan and smites it and says, where is the God of Elijah? And the river opens up before Elisha. Why was Elisha able to see Elijah? Because he had that portion of the same spirit that was on Elijah. Did Elijah give it to him? No, not even Moses and Elijah, can give a spirit to somebody else. But Elijah did what's the next best thing, what a preacher can do. I'll give you an evidence that God has given that to you, Elijah. Let me give you an evidence that God has given you His Holy Spirit. If you see it in others, if you love the brethren, you know why you love the brethren? You have passed from death unto life. That doesn't cause you to pass from death unto life. It's an evidence that sometime in the past, you already passed from death unto life. And that's the reason you have the ability to love the brethren. So seek God in nature. Seek God in other people. Seek God in His Word. There He's given and kept an accurate description of Himself. You can't be born again by seeking His Word, by reading the Bible. That's not how it works. The Holy Spirit does that in a sovereign, immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. That's how He does that. But a lot of people have all kind of strange ideas about God. A lot of people have all kind of strange ideas about Jesus Christ. I just recently tried to preach that. A lot of people think that Jesus Christ was a beautiful, long flowing hair, socialist, pacifist, who's trying his best and will save you if you let him. That's not the Christ of the Bible. The Christ of the Bible was plain, believed in private property, actually made a weapon one time and told his disciples to carry weapons at one occasion, and is 100% successful. Well, you say, well, how am I going to seek God and know what God's really like? How about reading His own description of Himself? I mean, if I were communicating to you and I wrote you descriptions of myself, And you just took them and discarded them, threw them in the trash and say, I'm going to listen to what other people say. Well, then you must not think that, why do you even want to meet me if you don't think my description of myself is accurate and that I'm misrepresenting myself? Do you think God is misrepresenting himself in his word? Or is the God of the Bible accurately described by the Bible? So if you want to seek God, seek him in nature, seek him in other people, seek him in his inspired, preserved, infallible word, which is the Bible. And then last, brothers and sisters, seek God in prayer. Seek God in prayer. How much we need that. The Lord Jesus Christ would spend his days teaching the multitudes, sometimes even teaching in the temple. But at night, he'd go out on a mountaintop apart, and he would spend the time in prayer. Even before he was arrested, he went to the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he went a stone's throw away from his closest disciples. And there, though he was in a great agony, he prayed. He even really prayed on the cross. He asked, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then finally, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ was a man of prayer, even though he was God in the flesh. Seek God. If we have, as the scripture says, we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, let us therefore go boldly to the throne of grace that we might find mercy, grace to help, and mercy in time of need. That's another place to seek God. Seek him in nature, seek him in people, seek him in the Bible, seek him in prayer, seek him early in the day, seek him early in your life, seek him early in times of trial or in times of rejoicing. Seek God, because Jesus Christ himself came to seek and to save that which is lost. Let me tell you, he's 100% successful in that search. My seeking and my searching is not 100% successful. But I found this, every little bit of effort that I've expended seeking after God is richly rewarded in Christ Jesus. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, dear God, thank you for these that are gathered here today. Thank you, Lord, for their grace in that they seek God. Please, Lord, help it be a lifetime search for all of us. And we find it completely successful when one day you bring us home and we're able to see the one that laid his life down for us. Oh, Father, we beg forgiveness for our sins. There are many. Our shortcomings are numerous. But dear God, thy grace is so great. Thy grace abounds, for where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. Father, we thank you for being so good, giving us food and clothing, but help us to seek first the kingdom of heaven and the righteousness of God, Lord, because if we do so, you've promised that all these things will be added unto us. Dear God, we ask a blessing upon our nation. Thank you for the freedoms we enjoy. Thank you, Lord, for the rich heritage and those who have sacrificed in order to hand that heritage onward. Would you bless this nation, Lord? Bless the leaders that they might make decisions honoring to you, and that we might lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. And dear God, bless the nations of the world, that your word might have free course. Send laborers into your harvest. Let your name be glorified by your children. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.